Millman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And again, hot take for the Miami Dolphins. They have just lit the next 3 years of their, well, I guess maybe, you know, Mike White, who's the backup there, could Ryan Tannehill him, you know, the Tua gets hurt and then he goes in there and actually wins some games. I wouldn't count on it, but maybe it's possible. But just lit the next three seasons on fire with that Tua contract, $53.1 million. And again, I don't care about the money. Everybody's getting paid that kind of money. Jordan Love's going to get paid that kind of money. I don't care about that. I care about the fact that I think Tua sucks. I mean, I'm really anti-Tua. And I went and did the math during the break. Because, again, my biggest issue with paying a quarterback is once you pay a quarterback, you are committed for the next 3 or 4 years. Diana Russini is reporting that it's $176 million in guarantees. And $167 million in guarantees is over 3 years, $55 million. Like, that's $55 million guaranteed or whatever per year of a three-year contract. It's a three-year deal for Tua, and they can get out of it for year four. So for the next 3 years, the Dolphins will win at least 8 games every year, and I don't think they'll win a playoff game. I guarantee it, but that, Ian, honestly seems like a way too far out guarantee.
Yeah. Do you think they'll – how many, if you had to guess, out of those three, how many will they make the playoffs? Of those three seasons. And how much does that matter to a team? You know?
Two, but they're going to make it once as the seventh. You know, Mike Tomlin has made two of these seventh seeds over the last couple of years, and both teams did not belong in the playoffs. You know, the seventh seed usually gets its ass handed to him.
Usually.
And that's a seventh seed team right there. I mean, that's what they were 2 years ago when they made it with Skylar Thompson and they lost to Buffalo, is they were a seventh seed. So they'll make it two out of the 3 years, but Tua will not win in my opinion, will not win a playoff game. How about this? Over the last 2 years, so since Mike McDaniel became the coach, and since Tyreek Hill got into the fold, I think he's the most important player on that team. And I'd pay him $50 million before I'd pay Tua $50 million. But over the last 2 years, including the playoffs, the Dolphins, or Tua, I should say, is 3-11 against playoff teams. 3-11. Lamar Jackson last year. And where would you rank Lamar Jackson in the AFC? Third, fourth? Would not rank him ahead of Patrick Mahomes. I would not rank him ahead of Joe Burrow. And I would not rank Lamar ahead of Josh Allen. So fourth in the AFC. Last year, Lamar was 7-1 against playoff teams. It really, by the way, tells you the story of how much Lamar did not give a rat's ass in 2022 when he held out half the season and he was complaining about his contract the whole year. Lamar was 2-4 against playoff teams in 22 and 7-1 last year after he got paid. Just shows you that Lamar was so mad about that contract, talked about it, or he didn't talk about it, but it was talked about all the time, and drama, 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 and Lamar last year, 7-1. C.J. Stroud won more games against playoff teams last year as a rookie. He won two, which, by the way, I think is another little not, you know, if we're trying to poke holes in Houston, which I'm not trying to do, but if we are trying to poke holes in Houston, I'm sure some of you out there are. C.J. Stroud last year, by my count, was 2-3 against playoff teams. So, he beat Tampa Bay, and he was great in that game, and then he beat Cleveland in the playoffs.
I mean, that's pretty good as a rookie.
No, for sure. But this is going to be a real test. I mean, it's not going to be as easy, I think, for Stroud this year as it was last year. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Cody texts in and says, I agree with your Tua take, but what is your hypothetical situation to replace him if you didn't sign him? Who do you go get within 3 years who is better in a win-now mode with that team around him? So here's what I would have done. See, this never would have happened. Like, I would have traded Tua if I owned the Dolphins. He would not be my quarterback. But I would have gone to Tua, and I would have offered him $30 million a year. And he would have absolutely spit on it and said, absolutely not. And then I'd say, okay. Because I believe that these bridge quarterbacks, last year it was Mayfield. This year I think it's Sam Darnold in Minnesota. I think these bridge quarterbacks are just as good as Tua. See, we all know the elites. And the elites, you can't just go get. Whether it's Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar. It's crazy that the NFC doesn't really have these guys. But you can't just go get those guys. The best quarterback in the NFC might be Dak. And he might be a free agent next year. The second best quarterback in the NFC, if it's not Dak, might be Jared Goff. And you can go get Jared Goff. To me, I think Joe asked a question, the one thing that we agreed on over the last however many months it's been. Joe asked me, if you had transported Ryan Tannehill and Jared Goff into separate situations, and you had put Tannehill in Detroit with that offensive line and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Ben Johnson, and I think that Ryan Tannehill would be signing for $50 million. And Jared Goff would be out on the street. I think Jared Goff is the perfect net zero quarterback. If he's got a bad team around him, he's bad. If he's got a good team and good coaching, he's good. You can go get a Jared Goff. They acquired two first-round picks with Jared Goff. The third-best quarterback in the NFC might be Mr. Irrelevant and Brock Purdy, and we don't even know if he's good. Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield. Again, you can go get those guys. Philly tried to trade for Russell Wilson the year that Jalen Hurts took him to the Super Bowl. And then when it comes to Baker, he was out there for anybody to have him. Baker's been on four teams in the NFL. And I think you could just go get that guy. And so while the salary cap's fake, I always believe the money's not. I think it was Sportico reported a couple weeks ago that NFL teams made $400 million each in national revenue. So then factor in your ticket sales and your local sponsorship agreements and things like that. And some teams like Dallas make more than other teams like Tennessee. But ultimately, at least you're starting at $400 million. And that's why the payrolls are $300 million and $250 million and somewhere there. Because after that and all the expenses, the owner decides how much money they want to walk away with. And so when it comes to the cap, I think the cap's fake, but the money is real. And I think that it's real, if I'm the Dolphins, to be able to put good players around Tua as opposed to have to give Tua the money and then take those good players away, because I don't think Tua can win with bad players around him, whereas I think Mahomes can win with a bunch of bums at wide receiver because he's that good. I think Allen can win with a bunch of bums because he's good. Tua cannot. So when you say, who would you have replaced him with? I would have replaced him with a bridge quarterback. In this case, if it were this year, it would have been Darnold. That's who I would have replaced him with. And I don't think I would have missed a beat by replacing him with Sam Darnold. One texter says, I feel that the Dolphins are too scared to make that quarterback change and trying to win now, so they felt like they had to pay him to have a chance to win. This is where, again, I think we, you know, when it comes to agreeing or disagreeing. And this is even how I kind of feel about UC Soros with the Predators, which is...
Are you willing to sacrifice a year or two now for the future in hopes that it's better?
If I'm Miami?
Or, yeah, just the overall philosophy?
Yes. I think what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did was exactly what I would do, which is they could have re-signed Jameis. You know, I think the story goes that when they approached free agency in 2020, they decided, you know, do we believe in Jameis? So Jason Light, the general manager, picked up the phone, called Don Yee, the agent for Tom Brady. Remember, they thought there was going to be a robust market for Brady, but the Raiders pulled out and decided they wanted to go with Derek Carr. And the 49ers pulled out and decided they wanted to go with Jimmy. And the Titans signed Tannehill. And so Jason Light picked up the phone. Nobody thought Tampa was the destination for Brady. Picked up the phone, and he called Don Yee. And Don Yee said, it's a good thing you called today. And that's how they got Tom Brady. Well, they knew that that wasn't going to be a 10-year thing with Tom Brady. So Tom Brady leaves. He retires. and they go with Baker Mayfield as like, a, hey, let's see. Knowing that it might not be good, but they're not investing a lot, Baker wins. Even the contract they gave Baker, I think it's 30-something million a year. I'd rather have Baker at quarterback than Tua. Ian, Baker or Tua, who would you rather have?
Tua.
Why?
They're pretty much the same, but Tua's a little younger.
I think they're the exact opposite.
In what way? Will they win the same amount?
I think Baker can win you games against good teams and good quarterbacks, but he can also lose you games. Whereas, like, again, Tua last year beat one playoff team, Dallas, lost to one non-playoff team, you. Like, Tua is much more steady, but I think Baker is much, much better. Like, as far as the ability to win you a kind of game that everybody's like, hold on, wait a minute, you did what? I think Baker can win that kind of game, and I don't think Tua can. Now, I don't think Tua's going to go, or Baker's going to be able to go through the gauntlet of the AFC and beat all those quarterbacks that you have to beat in order to get to the Super Bowl. But I think he's got a better shot in a game to beat a Josh Allen or beat a Lamar Jackson or beat a Patrick Mahomes than Tua does.
Well, I do think Tua is in a good spot as far as how he fits with the Dolphins' offense. You know? So maybe I'm kind of taking that into account. As
throw it short and let him go run with
it? Yeah, and the accuracy and that kind of stuff. And if you flip it, like, I feel like he's in an offense that fits him pretty well right now. Tua. You know? I'm not sure Baker would fit the exact same, but...
I'd much rather have Baker, although I am looking. Baker literally lost to all playoff teams last year. And he beat Green Bay, so he ties Tua. It's funny, you said, you know, he's like Tua, and I'm looking at it, and he lost to Philadelphia, lost to Detroit.
That's fair.
Lost to Buffalo.
Sure.
Lost to Houston. Okay. Lost to San Francisco.
Makes sense.
Beat Green Bay, but then he beat Philadelphia in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So
Philly
he's
was kind of struggling there at the end.
To Tua's one. 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis, News Tool, will join us, and we'll get back into your phones. 615-737-1025. Somebody asked, why does D-Mace hate on Josh Allen so much? I have no idea. You have to talk to him about that. Corey Curtis joins us next. Let's talk Fireball Whiskey. Nothing goes down as smooth and tastes as great as ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. I love Fireball Whiskey. It is the best. It's the best way to celebrate the weekend, celebrate the summer, celebrate the return of football with Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Night to night, please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. This week, Nashville's best deal is tickets to the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby X at First Horizon Park Saturday, August 31st. Buy two tickets now for only $30 and watch as MLB legends, top female players, and local Middle Tennessee hitters compete in exciting three-on-three co-ed competition. Buy your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/deals and be part of the Home Run Derby X excitement, which I am very excited about. After talking to Nick Swisher yesterday on the show. So the Dolphins have paid Tua a gazillion dollars. I feel bad for Dolphin fans. Corey Curtis joins us now on the program. Saw him out on the practice field sporting a brand new, fully thick, well-grown beard. It's like looking at a chia pet. Joins us now on the program here. So, Corey, I want to start with this. I don't care about the Dolphins, and I don't really care about Tua, but I think Tua is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. And if I was a Dolphin fan, I don't care about the money. But I would be depressed knowing that we're definitely not going to win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years or even really get close to one with Tua at quarterback. Is that a fair calculation of the Miami situation and of the fallout of them paying him?
I don't know if it's fair or not. I think I agree with it. I don't love it. You know, I've seen what Tua is with and without Tyreek Hill. And Waddle, Jalen Waddle, and you know, without those guys, he's not great. With those guys, he looks pretty good. And
he looks good at noon on CBS against non-playoff teams. Over the last 2 years. Tua is 3-11 against playoff teams.
Well, and you just go to the Titans game in prime time. You know, Tyreek Hill was hurt. He got hurt, and they shut down. The game was in his hands, and he couldn't win it against that Titans team. All right. And so, you know, that again, we talked about, like, with Trevor Lawrence, you know, if you're on defense and there's 2 minutes to go and the ball's in Tua's hands, are you like, oh, no, we got to shut down Tua? Now, if Tyreek Hill is out there, well, we got to shut down Tyreek Hill, but not Tua. And, you know, as I was listening to you earlier, I was thinking about there are three teams that immediately come to mind, and I'm sure there are more, but there are three teams that had quarterbacks who were good, sometimes very good, but the teams said, you know what? This isn't good, isn't good enough. We want to win the Super Bowl. We need better. And of course, you have the Chiefs. You know, they had Alex Smith on a career year and said goodbye for Patrick Mahomes. You had the Rams with Jared Goff, who was good enough to get them to the Super Bowl, and they said, not good enough. We need better. And they went and got Matt Stafford. And then you had the Patriots, who had Drew Bledsoe, who'd been a Super Bowl quarterback, who'd threw for a gazillion yards, and they got a taste of Tom Brady, and they said, you know, Drew might be safe. We've seen what Drew's done over the years, but we think we can do better. And I think, you know, it's hard to have the courage to say we need better at that position because it's so hard to find. And as a Chicago Bear fan, believe me, I know how hard this is. But it really doesn't do you any good to have okay. It doesn't. So you may as well take another swing at it.
So I actually think, to your point, that the reason teams don't do this is because with Tua at quarterback and with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, the Dolphins are going to win at least 9 games next year.
Yeah,
and they'll probably make the playoffs. But the Raiders did the same thing with Derek Carr, and it got Josh McDaniels fired. And yeah. So I think there's a lot of guys that are afraid to do that for that reason. Then it's like, okay, if I do this, I'm not going to win. If I do this and I go pick up Sam Darnold, that's what I would do. I think Sam Darnold's going to win in Minnesota. And Minnesota decided not to re-sign Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
And they're going to go with Sam Darnold. I think Sam's going to be fine. But if he's not.
They also drafted somebody in the first round.
True.
Which the Raiders did not do.
But if he's not good, you might get fired. I ask you this question. You could own either team. You could own the Dolphins and have Tua as your quarterback and know what he is, or own the Titans and have the potential that Will Levis could be a superstar, or the reality that Will Levis could be a total dud. Which would you take?
At this point, I would take Levis because I'm not on the hook for $200 million for a guy who even if he's good, is still not great.
Speaking of Levis, Pete Prisco did a story today at CBS. I don't know if you read it, but it was total pants off about how great Will Levis is going to be. You were at practice on Wednesday, as was Pete Prisco. I'm not sure I saw John Elway out there. I don't know if you did, but what do you make about this? Why is everybody, when it comes to Levis, there's either people that are like, he is a bum, or like Pete Prisco, willing to sit there and tell you that he's the next Josh Allen?
Well, you talked about it earlier, and you're right. I mean, Pete's hypothesis before the draft was that Levis was the guy. Mm-hmm. And he didn't see anything that said he couldn't be the guy, so he's going to stick with that. And, you know, he's got his chips on the table. And good for him, because Pete's a notorious Titans hater. And so for him to actually say something good about a Tennessee Titan, you know, that doesn't happen very often. But it's very interesting because nationally it's a love or hate relationship with Levis, whereas the people who watch him most, all of us here, all say the same thing. Wait and see.
Yeah.
We've seen good stuff, but we got to wait and see. You know, we've seen enough to make us believe it can be that way, but we've been down this road before. Like year two for Mariota was really good. That first year with Mularkey was a really good season. And then it fell apart. And we've seen other quarterbacks where that's happened as well. So, you know, we're not pushing all the chips on the table for Will Levis. We're staying in the hand, right? I mean, we all think we got good enough cards to stay in the hand, and we'll wait and we'll see. And with a rookie contract, that's a pretty good place to be in. I couldn't go out on that limb, but, you know, I guess when you're a national guy too, you got to go out on some limbs sometimes to get people to read. You know, if he writes an article, Will Levis might be okay. I don't think a lot of people are going to read that.
So there was a quote from Brian Callahan in there that, I mean, my eyeballs popped out of my head. I even had to ask the Titans. I'm like, did he say this? Like, did he actually? Brian Callahan said, quote, I think he, in reference to Levis, I think he can be one of the top 5 quarterbacks in football, Callahan said. He has everything you need to get to that point. Now he has to prove it. Top 5 quarterbacks in football. Corey Curtis, are you as bullish on the Titan signal caller as apparently the coach is?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that I don't know if I can say that or not. But, you know, we all know what that dream board is and that vision board is, right? I mean, he's got to put that out there. He's got to put that out as the expectation for his player, that you can be great. He doesn't want to tell, well, hey, if you play great, you can be, you know, a top 15 quarterback in this league. That's not what it's all about.
Would you say that, though, if you didn't think that he could be a top five quarterback?
If I didn't think he could be a top five quarterback, we'd probably go out and get another one.
Well, I don't think that when the owner sits there and says in a video with the team play-by-play guy that we've got a good young quarterback, fans.
Yeah,
I don't think a new coach is going to sit down and say, I think your young quarterback sucks. But
well, but we know that Brian Callahan doesn't think he sucks. Because
no,
Brian
he loves
Callahan,
him. But again, top perfect, five quarterback?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we had people last year trying to sell us that Trevor Lawrence was a top five quarterback.
Okay, but right? Like right now in the game, Mahomes, yeah. Burrow, Allen, Lamar, and then whoever you want in that fifth spot, right? Herbert, Rodgers, C.J. Stroud, whatever. Levis is not sniffing that group. You, by saying top five quarterback, you're saying that, and I'm not saying you, but I'm saying Brian Callahan, you're saying that he can be as good as Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Like, really?
Okay, look. Josh Allen, his rookie year, was way worse than Will Levis, his rookie year. Way worse. That guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, all right? He got way, way better. He improved. Lamar Jackson, I believe, had like a 3-for-19 game as a rookie.
I believe that was
the playoffs. And I don't know how many people were saying he's going to be a top five quarterback during his rookie season, and who wouldn't have scoffed at that? Who would have said coming into the coming out of the draft after everything that was said about C.J. Stroud, you know, I liked C.J. Stroud a lot. I don't think that was a big limb to go out on, but I liked C.J. Stroud a lot. But still, going out of the draft saying, hey, he's going to be a top five quarterback in this league. People are like, I don't know, we'll wait.
Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon.
You don't know. You don't know. And the sample size isn't big enough. He's looking at traits. He's looking at arm strength. He's looking at, you know, the ability to grasp what he's teaching him and take it to the practice field. He's the courage to play the position. The courage to step up in big moments, which he has, and he's looking at all those things and saying he's got all those. We just need to put them all together with the right weapons around him, and we could have something special. You know, he's not trying to sell us that Gardner Minshew can be a top five quarterback in this league, or that, you know, hey, we picked up Blaine Gabbert, he can be a top five quarterback in this league. It's a guy that some people have pegged as a first top 10 draft pick. It didn't happen for one reason or another. But some people had him pegged there. And so I don't think it's crazy talent-wise. I mean, there are people who think Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback in this league, and he was a third-round pick. So I don't think it's nuts for him to say that. I think there's a reason you say that as well. But I'm not aghast about that statement like you are. I understand, you know, the need to step back, but I also understand the need to make the quarterback dream big.
I don't know who's saying Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback, but that's, I guess, a different discussion. Fireball Hot Take Friday.
He got paid like it 2 years ago. He got paid like it, right?
Well, yeah, but everybody, I mean, Tua just got paid like it. Nobody thinks
that. Yeah, well,
everybody gets
paid. I'd rather have Jalen Hurts. Hot take. Here you go. Talking about quarterbacks. You're going to you're either going to crap all over this or you're going to say you agree with me. One or the other.
Okay.
End of the season, Will Levis has more yards and more touchdowns than Trevor Lawrence.
More yards and more touchdowns than Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to take the under, but I'm not going to go crazy about it. First off, I don't think yards are necessarily a reflection of whether or not a quarterback is good. Jameis Winston throws for a bunch of yards. So that doesn't really bother me. The touchdowns, I think I have a hard time getting to.
How many touchdowns has Lawrence thrown for in his first 3 years?
I'm guessing you know the answer by asking.
Well, he's averaging just over 20 a year.
Yeah, I mean, 20 touchdowns for Will Levis, I think, would be good.
Oh, come on. Come on. I mean, what is his over-under in Vegas on touchdowns? Like 17 and a half or something like that?
Is that what it is? And they're telling you that he won't throw for more touchdowns than Trevor Lawrence.
It's a slam dunk if he stays healthy.
That's a big if, too.
Yes. That is the biggest if to me with him. You know, he's going to throw some interceptions. He's going to make some mistakes. But they're going to throw the football. They got to see what they've got, and he's got to develop. And they're not going to hide him. You know, we've seen what happens when you try to hide quarterbacks. It doesn't work. The Bears tried to hide a quarterback all through the Super Bowl and then asked him to go win the game in the fourth quarter. It doesn't work. You got to see what you got, because if you don't got it, you got to go get it.
Titans tried to hide a quarterback, and then they went on the road to Kansas City in the AFC title game. Couldn't hide that quarterback anymore. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always on our program. Corey, great stuff. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks, Jerry. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, Corey Curtis on the program, as always. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in here on the program. Again, Tua just got paid, and I got to tell you, I feel bad for Dolphin fans. I do. 615-737-1025. Coming up next on the program. So, again, there's this whole Pete Prisco, you know, Levis. He's going to be the guy. I don't know that. They do have a checklist for whether or not you become the guy. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love Hiller. They take great care of my home. They can do the same for you. And happy birthday to my friends at Hiller. They are turning 34 years old this month. In fact, my friends at Hiller are the same age I am, which is pretty incredible. And they are bringing the celebration to you. And they are doing so with the Hiller Bash. That's right. I am a huge fan of Hiller. And again, they take great care of my home. And when it comes to Hiller and this birthday bash, they have tons of great deals and tons of savings and all the things that I know that you absolutely, positively want to take advantage of. So do that while you can with, again, my friends over there at Hiller. It's great what they've got going on for their birthday. From now until July 31st, enjoy free smart thermostat with select new HVAC systems, free water tests, $300 off new tankless water heaters, and buy 10, get 2 free landscape lights. Celebrate Hiller's birthday bash today by visiting happyhiller.com. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
We talked about being a starting quarterback. And that in this league can be fickle at times as to being a starter one year and not a starter the next year. When you see the kind of contracts that people are signing, the $55 million, the $54 million, and then see other guys that were drafted high that end up not making it to the second contract as a starter, does that make you think about how important this opportunity this season with this group is?
For sure. I mean, I try to just take it one day at a time, and I know how quickly this blessing can be taken away from you. And I definitely remind myself every so often just to keep myself in check and to make sure that my work ethic's on point. It's a cutthroat league. It's a business. And I know that if I don't show up on Sundays, I won't have my job, and rightfully so. So I just want to make sure that when I get out there for game day that I can do my best and I can prove the people right in this building that they were correct in picking me to come here.
You know, if I had asked that question today instead of 2 days ago, I'd have said, will Tua Tagovailoa just sign for $53 million? Do you ever think about the difference between you making it and you being Sam Howell? Because there is a difference. And this is your one shot here as a starting quarterback. So, again, $53.1 million for Tua, who is 3-7 against playoff teams. Oh, excuse me, 3-11 over the last 2 years. Against playoff teams. Tua was 1-6 last year. 1-6. Will Levis beat as many playoff teams last year as Tua? 1. And it was Tua. So we keep talking about whether or not Levis is going to make it, whether or not he's going to be the guy. You know, I thought TD had a great point when Joe asked him, you know, would you bet your house on Will Levis making it? And he said that he would, simply because, you know, now guys are getting contracts without even being a top quarterback. And Tua is a great example of that. But to me, I'm in it for whether or not Levis is the guy. That's how I'm operating. You know, I went to the Titans house on Monday with my dad. That's the PSL. You know, they take you through the thing and they show you the charts and they show you the PSLs and how much money they're asking for. And they are asking for a fortune for some of these tickets. Now, they say 40% of the stadium would be less than $3,500 for PSLs, but the tickets they were talking about Monday, it was a fortune. I'm not saying we're not going to do it. I'm just saying that, again, it's expensive. And I almost, you know, want to ask, if Will Levis is as good as Tua, are you going to give him a contract and extend him? Because if you're going to extend that, and I'm going to be stuck with that for another 3 years of my life after the however long it takes for us to figure out if Levis is a starter or if he's Blake Bortles or not, then I'll just pass on the PSLs because there will be no reason in going if that level of mediocrity is going to be something that we are stuck with. Miami can stick with it themselves. I don't care about them, but I'm talking about me. If you're going to ask me for a bajillion dollars in a new stadium and you're going to put that at quarterback, I mean, pass. Like, I'm no thank you. So here's what I think Will Levis. Will Levis is not there, even though some people want to believe he will be for sure. So I compiled the list of really what a quarterback needs in order to make it as a true franchise ace. I'm not interested in a, well, he's better than the alternative starter. I'm talking about an ace. I'm talking about Lamar, Herbert, which, again, we'll see with Herbert. Lamar, Herbert, Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, Rodgers, what Stroud looks like he's going to be. And I got seven keys, and I think you need to hit on four of these keys in order to be a franchise ace. So here is key number one.
Number one.
Talent. I think that's pretty obvious, right? You cannot be a franchise quarterback without talent. Some, like Cam Newton, have more talent than, say, Brock Purdy. But again, every single one of these franchise quarterbacks has talent. That's the number one thing.
Number two.
Processing. So coaches are paid millions of dollars, and there are so many coaches. But at the end of the day, when they get to the line of scrimmage and the defense starts to shift, there's a one guy who is responsible for making the right decision, and it ain't the coach. We talk about the coach and the play caller and everything. Again, when the quarterback gets to the line of scrimmage, and I've heard Tom Brady talk about this, and I think, you know, it's kind of it's obvious, but it's also kind of eye-opening when he talks about how the quarterback is the last line of defense before making a massive mistake. You know, as a quarterback, you can't snap the ball against a bad defense. The coach can call in the huddle, you know, 29 X right, Z go shoot. But if you get out there and you look at that defense, and that's exactly going to take away what you're trying to do. I think Brady said, if I'm going to hand it off to the right and I see the safety coming down off the tackle at the right, quarterback's got to change play. And the quarterback doesn't just have to process before the play, but the quarterback has to process during the play. You got to see where it's going to be and put it where it has to go. And you've got to make the read, and the receiver's got to be on the same page. So you've got to be able to process. And with Levis, the S2 test was a good indication that he's able to do that. And so that's a good step in the right direction, but processing, every quarterback has to be able to do it, and they have to do it at a high level. And I think a guy like Jared Goff, he kind of lacks that at times, and the coaching gets him as far as it can get him, but he can't take that extra step.
Number three.
Coaching. Coaching, coaching, coaching. I wonder over the last handful of years, how many guys, if we were to go through the list of these high quarterbacks that are taken in the first round, and, you know, again, Levis wasn't even taken in the first round. But if we go over these quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round and we went one by one, how many of the good ones had a good coach? Patrick Mahomes, anybody? I think he's got a good offensive quarterback-centric coach. Sam Darnold, in his career, has had Adam Gase with the Jets and Matt Rhule with the Panthers. That's why I'm fascinated by what Sam Darnold's going to do after a year in San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan and going to Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, because I think coaching matters. Bringing along a young quarterback, coaching matters. I saw Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Colts today, talking about, well, you're going to run Anthony Richardson less. Well, I mean, what, were you going to tell Steph Curry to stop shooting threes? If Steph Curry was going to get hurt shooting threes all the time, I think I might. Coaching matters. And I don't think it's an accident that Bobby Slowick, Shanahan tree guy, went into Houston and made C.J. Stroud look like a star. Got to have coaching.
Number four.
Organizational stability. and smarts. Lamar Jackson has the Ravens, a smart organization that knows how to build a competitive football team on a year-in and year-out basis. When's the last time the Ravens got caught with their pants down? Jordan Love has the Packers. Once again, when's the last time they got caught with their pants down? I hate to say it, but if you look at the Titans, there's a lot of upheaval, right? Vince Young, they changed the general manager after year one and stuck him with Norm Chow and Jeff Fisher. Marcus Mariota fired the head coach midway through year one, new coach and new GM in year two, new coach, new offensive coordinator, new offense in year four, and another offensive coordinator in year five. That is not the recipe for success. And once again, the Titans drafted Will Levis with Mike Vrabel as the coach, and they've already changed that. It's not an accident. Organizational stability matters. And unfortunately, I'm not sure the Titans really have a lot of that.
Number five.
Confidence. And I feel pretty confident that Levis has that.
Number six.
An offensive line. Anybody who's anyone had an offensive line with the exception of Joe Burrow, and Will Levis is not Joe Burrow, as Brian Callahan has pointed out several times.
Number seven.
A defense. You cannot win games in the NFL. This is not the Big 12. You cannot win games consistently in the NFL 55-45. So you got to have a defense. And it takes pressure off the quarterback when he's got to engineer two touchdown drives a game instead of four. So that's what it takes in order to be successful, in order to make it. You got to have talent. You got to be able to process. You have to have good coaching. You need organizational stability, confidence, an offensive line, and a defense. And again, you can survive without two or three of these. Joe Burrow hasn't had an offensive line, and Tom Brady went to an organization that up until he showed up was not very stable. But you can't do it without all of those. You can't just be born into being a great quarterback. Even Peyton Manning needed Tony Dungy to get there before they unlocked. 615-737-1025. More of your phones. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. Also, there's one thing going on at Titans camp that I'm worried about. We'll get into that next. Plus your phone, Stillman and Company, 1025-1063 the game.
What's Ojukwu done to, he's kind of gone under the radar, but seems to be holding up pretty well out there, getting a lot of significant snaps. But what do you guys like about him?
He's one of the first thing is that, you know, for a guy like him, I think I might have said it before, but you don't notice him, and that's a good thing. You know, he's not making errors. He's doing what he's supposed to do, what he's coached to do, and doing it well. Again, this is all going to change next week. We'll really see what it's all about. But as far as the work that he's done and his attention to detail and the techniques and knowing what to do, has been really good. He's done a nice job, and he's been physical. He's been locked in the meeting room, so he's made the most of an opportunity, and I'm happy to see it.
So if you were to say, Jared, what have you thought about the most after 2 days of training camp practice, and what's important or what's not important? I'm not sure I could tell you for sure, but one thing that is bothering me and is probably not bothering you as much as it's bothering me when it comes to the Titans is this whole John Ojukwu thing at right tackle. This idea that an undrafted free agent in his second year who played 66 snaps of football last year is going to be starting at right tackle is simply unacceptable for me. And I don't care, you know, that there have been players that have been undrafted free agents and they've become superstars in their careers and things like that. I get it. But normally what happens is those guys get opportunities when other people, and I'm not talking about PT, I'm talking about real players get hurt, and then that guy has to go in there, and he plays well. It's what happened with David Long Jr. But I am not okay with the Titans at right tackle winging it to the point that John Ojukwu is starting at right tackle. All offseason, when I told the right tackle story, Brian Callahan got hired. The next day, I sat down with him at the facility, and I told him the right tackle story because I don't want to talk about right tackle anymore. But apparently, This organization cannot get its head out of its ass when it comes to that position, and I don't know why. So all offseason, in March, I kept saying they don't have a right tackle. You guys got all giddy. They signed L'Jarius Sneed and Tony Pollard and Chidobe Awuzie and Calvin Ridley. And you're like, look how much better we are, Jared. We might be the most improved team in the league. And I said, they don't have a right tackle. And your response was, it's only March. The draft hasn't even happened yet. Then the draft happened. And the Titans still don't have a left tackle. A right tackle. Then after that, everybody turned their attention to, oh, no, it's fine because we've got Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a.
PT.
We've got PT, Jared. PT will be fine. And then we get to OTAs, and PT's not out there. And, well, no, it's okay, Jared. It's only OTAs. Well, it's not OTAs anymore. PT's not out there. You didn't draft the right tackle. You didn't sign a right tackle. So now you are stuck with John Ojukwu at right tackle. And I know Brian Callahan says, well, it's a good thing that you don't notice him, which is my theory on umpires. The best umpires in baseball are the ones you've never heard of. The ones that you know, Angel Hernandez, those guys are notorious because they're horrendous. But I'm not, I like Bill Callahan, and I get it, but no, we're not putting an undrafted free agent right tackle. I'm not doing it. And yet, at the same time, as this continues to go along, I feel like I might be the only person who finds this completely unacceptable. I mean, I thought it was unacceptable to run the same Scarbinis out there that they had in the past. Oh, no, Jared, it'll be fine. PT, Raidens, Duncan, they'll be fine, Jared. And I'm like, no. No, that's not acceptable. But then they move Raidens to guard, who was the best right tackle they had last year. Then PT can't get on the field, which, again, it's always something with PT. It's always something. And so it was the shoulder, it was the gambling, it's the knee, can't get on the field. So he can't get on the field, and now you got OJ at right tackle. Not acceptable. That is a complete and total organizational fail that he's playing right tackle right now. Don't make me tell the right tackle story again. One texter says, you hinted at the possibility of trading for Trent Williams. Is that an actual possibility, or do you think there's no way it'll happen? I think San Francisco knows that they're going to have to do a mini rebuild at the end of this year, that they're going to have to blow some parts of their team up, because Brock Purdy is going to go from making $975,000 to at least $56 million a year. And at that point, like, I think they're prepared for Deebo Samuel not to be on their team next year. But I also think they look at their team this year and they're like, put Deebo out there. Trent Williams wants money next year, guaranteed, because he knows, like Deebo, they could kick him to the curb after this year too, and he wants to lock up some money. And so my gut tells me San Francisco is going to hold their ground. Trent Williams is going to be playing left tackle for them, or he's not going to be playing this year. But if he were to be available, I do think you would be in the mix. In the mix. One texter says, Jared, were the Predators able to get all the pieces together for a championship team in 1 year? Neither will the Titans. Who on the Predators is John Ojukwu? Like, do they have some Scarbini on the top pair? No. They have Roman Josi and Brady Shea. Do they have some Scarbini on the top line? No. Do they have a Scarbini in goal? No. Do they have a Scarbini on the power play? No. The closest thing they have to a Scarbini is Tommy Novak as the second line center. And Elliott said before the trade deadline, teams want to give up a first round pick for him. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what Elliott said. Do not compare the two. This is right tackle. And I just said, don't make me tell the story again, but I will. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Plus, coming up next, Brian Callahan said something that I cannot wrap my head around. And it involves your quarterback. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.